Hello, Roberto, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Hello, Irene. Thanks to you for giving me the opportunity for the interview. It's a pleasure for me.
Let's start with a deep question, which is, Roberto, who are you?
That's really the most philosophical question I could ever. Tell a bit about myself. Okay, my name is Roberto, and as you can listen from my accent, from my name, I come from Italy, and I'm a mechanical engineer here at CERN, and I work in the handling engineering group, which usually is called, to CERN people, they refer to us as people from the transport. Because at the end, we take care of all the equipment which is used to transport objects. So to lift and handle all the objects we have at CERN. So it could be from, small objects to very important parts of the machine, of the accelerators, for example. And myself in particular, I take care of the overhead cranes, which people in French, they call it the pont roulant, which at the end are those big yellow cranes, which are almost inside every building at CERN. I don't know if you already had the opportunity to walk yes, into some of this building. If you see usually this big yellow structure running on top of your head, those are the cranes that are used to handle objects. So usually that's what we take care here, which it sounds a bit strange to people from the outside knowing. So what does it have to do with CERN and with physics? Okay, maybe not that much, but without that cranes, you will not be able to install the magnets, which at the end build up the accelerator. So this is the same thing I tried to explain to my mother when I told her I'm moving to Geneva.
So how long have you been working at CERN?
And now it's 8 years. So exactly, it was in September. So I arrived here in 2012. It was just a few months after they saw the Higgs boson. So when really CERN was really in the spotlight.
And could you tell me any anecdote from those 8 years at CERN?
Okay, I don't really have, special anecdotes of, related to my careers, but something kind of anecdote that usually I used to explain to people the different moods that physicists, I guess, especially in the past, they try to create here at CERN. So sometimes you have the feeling which is, you are so far from the environment that usually you have in big companies in the industry. So I just imagine sometimes when there are these end of the year parties, so like a small Christmas party at the end of the year, usually I saw that sometimes you have maybe like group leaders, so people in the management which organize the party, but is the maybe group leader itself which is cooking for the rest of the group? I heard that there are people like preparing pizza for the rest of the group. You know, this is just a way to explain how different here it is from the sometimes the rest of the companies around CERN. Really to explain you how sometimes, this informal attitude between the management and the rest of the employees. So they always try to reduce this distance.
So Roberto, let's go for a moment to the past. Because I don't know if there's something that you're missing from Italy, but in that case, what do you miss most from your city in Italy?
Okay, now during the years, more or less, I try to get more and more used to live here. Also because at the end, Italy, at the end of the day, is not that far. It's just on the back of the Mont Blanc, if you are a bit nostalgic. But at the end, what I miss most about, my hometown, I think most of people will reply are like the family and friends. The friends that I grew up with.
Yeah.
It's a bit maybe because my region is made up, of a small town, which most of them were built during the medieval period. So they still have all these medieval walls. So it's a bit of characteristics. And, it's a bit the smell, the food coming from your region, I think more or less is the same thing that anyone misses.
Yes, from Italy, yes.
Yeah, probably we are, anyone is a bit attached, to the roots, to the origins. Mm-hmm. But, I have the opposite side is that anyhow, before the COVID exploded, I had the opportunity to go back almost anytime I wanted to. So I can live easily with that.
And let's move now to the future, because I'm going to dream big and I'm going to imagine myself writing a novel in Galicia in front of the Atlantic. Why not? And now I would like to know, yeah, Roberto, what are the dreams of a mechanical engineer like you?
Okay. But as a, you mean professionally or more like as a...
Both, if you want to.
Or my dream, anything that I would like to do in the future.
Because you can, well, the next one actually is like looking for the long distance future. And I was about to ask you, what would you like to be when you grow up? So maybe that's more personal. And the other one, you can answer it like in a professional way, but as you prefer.
No, at the end of the day, so far, what really has become really my biggest dream at the moment is really to take maybe 4 to 5 weeks, maybe somewhere in the future, for a road trip in the United States. At the beginning, it was even supposed to do by car, and then maybe I say, well, why not with a motorbike? So which probably has a bit to do with the mechanical engineering job. And at the beginning, okay, you say maybe it's not really such a big dream, but in this period, it's becoming like traveling is becoming really probably the biggest luxury that people could have. Yeah, that was a trip that I was supposed to do like 3 years ago. Then for personal reasons, I had to postpone it. And then it should have been now in the summer 2020. And because of the COVID, I could not even start reserving anything. And at the moment, I don't even know if I could repeat it next year. That's why now it's the first in the top list of my wish list. So hopefully maybe in the future.
Yeah, hopefully soon. So related with also that you're a mechanical engineer, I would like to know what comes to your mind when you hear the word beauty.
Beauty, okay. Okay, maybe with mechanical engineering. Is it, I'm not telling that, like, for me, like, screws, no, they don't represent anything with beauty, I have to say. No, when I read, also coming, like, from, let's say, you know, the background from Italy and so on, like, we probably is pretty similar in Spain. So, you know, when you have come from a country which has a big history in the architecture, art, probably the first thing I would like. That comes to my mind when I hear the word beauty is like a painting, you know, maybe some paintings from the Renaissance, something like, you know, that is a Venere from the Botticelli, the painter, something like this. But maybe like a bit more generally for me, like beauty is anything that lets you really astonished, like something that really shakes your soul, you know, something that really when you say you cannot almost breathe. So sometimes it could be art, music. Sometimes I guess it could be just seeing an amazing landscape, like nature. Like is one of these days I was, now that I still come to work from time to time with my bike, coming from the French side, you have the Mont Blanc.
Yes, yes.
Just in front of you with the sun rising up on the back. So I say, okay, that's a good example of beauty.
Yes.
And we have so many examples around. It's just the way how to, let's say, first of all, you have to be ready to accept beauty, to recognize it.
We have some verses from Gaia Danese, an Italian poet, and I would like you to read those verses and after that, well, try to do like a small translation because they are in Italian. And after, I would like to ask you if you agree with those verses and if you believe that the key is in cold blood.
So I will read the first in Italian, okay? There's three verses. Due tartarughe sorridenti negoziano per una foglia d'insalata. Mi stendo anche io su quelle pietre. Inizio a sospettare che la chiave stia nel sangue freddo. Okay, that's it. So, first English translation. So, two smiling turtles, they negotiate, they fight each other for a lettuce leaf. I lay down myself too on those rocks. I start thinking that maybe the key is everything is in the cold blood. First attempt of the translation.
But do you believe that the key is in cold blood?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what Danese had in mind when she wrote the poem. at the end, the interpretation I could give like to Cold Blood, okay, probably it's not really a political one.
That's Don't worry.
Sometimes what it helped me during like my career, so even at CERN or even before, sometimes having the cold blood sometimes is the best way to solve problems when you have maybe a bit to deal with crisis or problems at work, but even in the daily life. Mm-hmm. What usually people from Southern Europe maybe are not that used to is really to stay calm, you know,
yeah.
Keep calm. So.
Not to react.
Really, exactly. So really, maybe sometimes a more the Northern European approach. Sometimes it's much more effective. So just keep calm and try not to be too much passionate to react immediately and take the distance to like really the things cool down. Try to analyze the things and then to solve the problems. That's a bit what really I could say about these problems. I guess really, Brody. Gaia Danese had another interpretation. Maybe
yeah, everyone.
For the next interview.
I try.
If you are able to reach her.
Our previous attorney, Thibaut, he wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. What is freedom for you?
that's a good question.
Yeah.
Especially during these days, I guess. It's quite,
yeah, controversial.
Yeah, I think it's quite really a common word, you know, with all these people. this thing like that lockdown is is like the people are trying to steal our freedom. I don't know that really sometimes people think that freedom is only doing whatever you wish. I think it's not really, this is not really freedom. I don't know, I guess really... Freedom is mostly when you have the opportunity to develop yourself, to make your choice, to, let's say, be able to take your decision, to make mistake. That's mostly freedom, I guess. I don't know, that's really the first definition I will have in my mind.
So don't worry, because now you've become the interviewer. So it's your turn to ask.
That's the best part.
Yeah, you can ask whatever you want to our next attorney.
The question I would like to ask him is, what do you think you will be today, or where you will be today if you won't be at CERN?
Okay.
So like if you didn't have the opportunity to be at CERN, or you didn't take the decision to accept a job at CERN, where do you think you will be today?
Okay. I will ask him in about 1 hour.
Okay. I hope I will not be too angry for this question.
So thank you very much, Roberto, for the interview. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure for me.